Businesses are changing all the time, from company-wide layoffs to acquisitions or exits to new investors or leadership to unexpected crises. The list of ways a company can change goes on and on. Sometimes these developments barely affect the business and how it operates. Other times, they lead to massive renovation. And it's during those extreme transformations when you learn a lot about yourself, what you bring to the table, and where you thrive.
A number of the companies that I've been a part of in the past have been acquired by larger ones. By acquisition, you suddenly end up in a much bigger organization that's matrixed. And what I found was when I'm in that sort of environment, the number of moving parts and the ability to move fast becomes something that's really hard to solve. And so I find that my skill set in iterating fast, it's much harder in a place where you're trying to keep multiple trains on the track.
That's David Chang, the former CEO of Gratify, former COO of PayPal, former entrepreneur in residence at Harvard, and current angel investor and entrepreneur. Over the course of his sprawling career, David has shaped startups at their earliest stages and helped lead established businesses in their later ones. Through trial and error, he has learned to recognize where he adds the most value. And it's understanding what you mean by value and your role in shaping it that dictates how and where you'll land when your business finds itself facing new challenges and changes. There are always exciting things happening in the world of small business. The news that grabs the headlines, though, are always the highlights, the overnight successes, the billion-dollar IPOs, the massive exits. But just like your Instagram feed, that's never the whole story. Let's look deeper than the headlines and the press photos. Underneath all of that is the real work building something valuable and lasting. Don't get me wrong, I love crazy success stories and can be drawn into those big flashy tales just as much as the next person. But we all know that what's more important than the destination is how you get there. It's the struggles you have to overcome and the insights you learn along the way that make you who you are. So those are the stories we're telling. It's raw, it's honest, and maybe it's exactly what you need to hear. I'm Hillary Georgie, and this is The Journey. Before David found himself deep in the field of entrepreneurship, he was your average kid. It wasn't until he got his first job at a print shop in the mid-80s that his interests began to shift.
A lot of what I did just growing up was typical kid stuff. And maybe the first sign that I had wanted to do something more in business was, I think it was like 15 at the time, I caught wind that this local print shop was putting together like these resumes and brochures. And I just thought, like, how do they actually do that? Because I hadn't seen that before. And somehow I think I struck up a conversation with the owner of the shop, and they had recently bought like their very first Macintosh and they really know how to use it kind of thing. And so I somehow wandered my way into this role.
For David, this wasn't just his first job. It was the first time he experienced firsthand how business worked and how his skills could impact the bottom line. After he graduated high school, David knew he was headed straight to college. So he vetted school after school, looking for classes and programs he was interested in. And eventually, he landed an acceptance letter from Cornell's engineering department.
While I was in school, while I was a student, I felt that I was just passing time. It was just this necessary stop that everyone generally took. And so while I was there, I didn't particularly enjoy going to classes. The whole purpose of going to school was kind of like, how quickly can I make it through this process and hopefully pick up some skills along the way and, you know, go to a place where I wouldn't, you know, hate the experience.
College had its ups and downs, but Cornell ultimately provided him with an education and network that he appreciated. But David knew that to feel fulfilled, he needed to supplement what he learned in the classroom with real-world experience.
While I was in schools, I started a consulting company, ended up developing some software for some big customers. And at the time, I can't understand why they would give a job to a 19-year-old kid. And a lot of what I ended up in school was these sort of part-time roles where, in essence, I was still dabbling in technology, dabbling, putting stuff together. And through that whole process, was able to continue to sort of bridge the gap between education and the real world.
And it was through that process of bridging the gap that David began to realize why he didn't love school and why fast-paced work in the real world called to him.
I was super happy actually just producing something that someone else was using and it had value. So that was like a big driver throughout school. And taking classes also seemed like it was not really super productive. Yes, you were learning and yes, you were gaining skills. I was just wanting to put those skills to use.
For him, starting a consulting company and seeking opportunities to get real-world experience was less about wanting to do his own thing or be his own boss. It was about being able to do something that was productive and valuable. And it's at this point of the story that you'd expect David to drop out of college and chase ideas and start his own company. What really happened is the exact opposite.
The first chapter of my real professional life, from college to first job as software engineer for 7 years and then going back to business school, that first kind of 10-year period wasn't particularly entrepreneurial.
In fact, it wasn't until later in his career that David became an entrepreneur by accident.
The thought of starting a business, the thought of being at a startup, wasn't the single most compelling thing. I think it was one of those things I had discovered much later in life, that entrepreneurship just happens to be this really great way to get stuff done and really great way to iterate and do something fast and put something out to market. But knowing how much I got out of that kind of more traditional path for those first 10 years, I don't think I would change anything. I think there are many paths to entrepreneurship, and so mine is probably more of an accidental entrepreneurship path than anything else.
David might not have taken the Hollywood movie path into entrepreneurship, but it's those experiences he had early in his career that helped frame how he thinks about businesses, people, and his own value. And that would ultimately prove to be the key element that made him the successful entrepreneur he is today.
One of the really concrete lessons that I'd learned during that period and then really solidified afterwards was that if you look at any given person within a company and look at like how their careers grow, there are all these different ways that people derive value out of their jobs, right? So sometimes it's about responsibility, sometimes it's about climbing the ladder, sometimes it's changing your function, right? Going from maybe software to marketing, to product, to sales.
Different people place different values on the same thing. It's the force that drives the economy, and it's a force that David was fascinated by.
My experience right after business school was right at the burst of the first internet bubble. And so this was 2001. I was considering going back to a big company and then by accident ended up at a startup. When I was looking at consulting firms and banking firms and large companies, the roles that were the most appealing were the ones that were smaller companies, mainly because you got to do more. The thought of going back to doing exactly the same thing suddenly just made it a lot less appealing. From that point on, for really the next 15 years, I had really been a startup person.
David hopped from company to company, some you may have heard of like PayPal and TripAdvisor, and some you may not be as familiar with like Edox and MCube. After the break, David shares the lessons he learned while working with so many different types of companies and why recognizing where and how you and others succeed is so important as a leader.
It takes a lot to grow a business, but one thing's for certain. You've got to have a laser focus on the customer. That's why we use Salesforce Essentials at Mission every day. With Essentials, your small business has access to the same CRM tools driving results for some of the most successful companies on earth. Think Adidas, Amazon, T-Mobile, Toyota, Intuit, Marriott, and tens of thousands more. Track your business health by measuring sales, emails, customer satisfaction, and custom metrics. Go to essentials.salesforce.com to start your 2-week trial today.
After a decade of working in traditional businesses and another 15 years living the true entrepreneur's life, David decided to take a break. Today, he is living what he calls a portfolio life and has helped more than 50 companies grow through angel investments and by advising students and blossoming entrepreneurs. He loves the speed with which small teams can move and the value that new products and services bring to the market. But as businesses grow, new phases begin, And David knows that not every stage of entrepreneurship is a good fit for everyone, not even himself.
I'm a fan of entrepreneurship overall. And the beauty is that I think based on people's skills and talents, there are different phases of entrepreneurship that really resonate well with them. And I know enough about myself that I'm less the 0 to 1 person. The earliest stages of ideation, I've now discovered both on the entrepreneur side and operator side, as well as the investor side. That's less of where my skills lie. The roll of the dice in the very beginning is the getting it off the ground. And in many other cases, in my case in particular, I find myself thriving in cases where the company is started, when there's something to work with, that's when I really thrive.
Discovering where he thrives most has been a huge part of David's journey. We all face forks in the road in life, but knowing where you can add the most value helps us know which way to turn. As a business leader, the forks in the road you face impact not just you, but the success and future of the entire company as well. That's why having values is important, and letting them guide you and sticking to them matters, regardless of whether the business decisions you face are large or small.
In most of the early stage companies I've worked with, you naturally hit these points where there's a fork in the road. Do you double down, raise more money? Do you continue along? Do you enter in some pretty strategic partnership or exit the company? And so the hand that you play at that time, you're always constantly reevaluating these hands, and they come up pretty frequently. So maybe every 18 months or so. It's a little bit of an academic thing, right? So a strategic thing, you figure out, okay, well, on paper, this makes sense, but emotionally, how do you handle it?
And when you are making these big decisions, David can't stress enough how important it is to seek outside perspective from the people you trust.
Very often, when you're so close to something, you're unable to see the forest through the trees, that the advice that someone provides is just simply the fact that they are not in the spot that you're currently in. I've been so deep in something where just having a little bit of that outside perspective is one that's been so valuable. When you're so deep in something and can't seem to figure out how to solve it, then you need to pick your head up and you need to reach out for help.
Different motivations, values, and business landscapes shape the decisions companies make. And like David noted earlier in his career, just as companies are motivated by different things, so are people. It's the philosophy of really accounting for A, what's good for an employee, and B, what's good for the business, that has molded his leadership style.
People are motivated by different things. It's really important to find out where they're thriving. And one big philosophical thing I have is also those relationships that you develop with people are so much stronger than the bond of the company that you happen to be part of at that particular point in time. And so if they are better off at another company, you as a leader should help then figure out a better path. That's one big piece of the philosophy, that the people come first and then the company comes second. I've been so lucky to work with people that have common aspirations, common values. I've been on teams where skills have been very complementary. Working with the same people at new companies is you figure out exactly where each other's strengths end and you pick up. And so with the companies that I'm part of, it's been amazing to see how people are able to just pick up things and make sure nothing falls through the cracks.
Life and business are a series of endless forks in the road. These decisions are never easy to make in the moment, but when you are equipped with the right knowledge and surrounded by the right people working toward the things that really matter, the choices that you are left with, the forks to choose from, are usually easier to manage and can be viewed as exciting opportunities.
The advice for folks that are at the early stages of their career, looking at what would be next kind of thing, every one of those decisions is a 51-49 kind of thing, right? Like, what happens if I do this or not? And the only, advice is at any given point in time, you're going to have these different decisions and you just can only make the decision based on knowledge you have at that moment. And so make it, live with it, move on, don't look back. You'll be fine.
Through all the company transformations David has witnessed and has been a part of, one thing is true for businesses of all shapes and sizes. The success of the transformation is defined by value. What you value, what the company values, where you add the most value, and recognizing where others add value. From everyday activities like hiring and setting company goals, to bigger decisions like selling your company or shifting policies to allow your whole team to work remotely, your value and what you value matters. Because as Aristotle says, quote, knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom.
Succeeding as a startup, solo founder, or any small business is an uphill battle. It takes the right mindset and the right tools. That's why we're thrilled to partner with Salesforce Essentials to bring you The Journey. Managing one podcast, let alone a whole media studio, is a challenge to say the least. But Essentials makes it easy to maintain relationships and grow our business. With Essentials, your startup has access to the same CRM driving insights and results for the most successful companies in the world. Use unrivaled Salesforce technology to track customers, sales, emails, and more. You'll know where your business is and where it's headed as you chart the path for your journey. We love using Essentials, and we know you will too. Go to essentials.salesforce.com to start your 2-week trial today.